Man, I'm sorry. Let you guys down. Next time we'll do it for like mango. Pizza! Go pizza in the morning! We'll buy pizza the night before, refrigerate it for you, and then bring it here in little bites. Just kidding. I don't know if we would ever do that. Okay. 1 John 4, 1 through 2. Does everybody have their Bibles today? If you have your Bible, put your hand up. Put your hand up. I don't know if well we can't. Maybe we'll count. Do you bring a normal Bible? Physical, it has to be printed text. They still make that, believe it or not. That's pretty good. So like, I would say like, maybe half have their Bibles. That's pretty good. The official Bible pastor out there. Do you need a Bible? Are you getting a Bible? Oh, good. That's really good as well. Okay, 1 John 4, 1 through 2. I mean, 1 through 4. Wow, oops, my bad. 1 John 4, 1 through 4. If you're there, stand up on your feet. Huh? You did get Bibles. You tricked me, right? You tricked me. We're continuing our series, Enlighten and Love. We're already at chapter 4, and 1 John is just 5 chapters. So. What? 1 John 4. Chapter 4. We are past halfway through. We have finished the majority of the book. That's pretty crazy. Okay, 1 John 4, verse 1. Everybody got it? I'm going to assume, because you're all standing, that you all have it. And we're going to start reading it now, so shh. Beloved, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we are thankful for this opportunity that we have as your people to gather in a space and study your word, worship you, and fellowship together. This time is all for you, and our heart is to grow in you and your word. Our heart is to become more like you and less like ourselves. And we ask that you would fill us afresh with your spirit, empty us of ourselves. Let us be able to fully focus on you, and let every distraction, whether it's outside of this room, inside this room, in our pockets, on our phones, on our minds, in the past, in the future, let every distraction fade, Lord. And we turn our hearts fully to you, and we give you our focus in this time. We pray all this in your name. All God's people said, amen. Amen. Have a seat. So, do we have any Elvis fans? Elvis Presley? Sort of. Your father, born and raised by Elvis Presley. Hey, Johnny's. Okay, so-so. So-so. Does anybody, who hates Elvis Presley? Who's just, every time Elvis comes on the radio, you're like, turn it off, Dad! I hate this! Oh, Steven is a hater. An Elvis hater. And Seth. Seth raised his hand, too. Wow. He likes country. Johnny Cash. Wait, Steven likes Johnny Cash? You just said that? Okay, wow, okay. Okay, well, Elvis Presley wrote a song. It's called Devil in Disguise. Have you guys seen Lilo and Stitch? Yeah, it's in that movie. It's the one that's like, you look like an angel. And then, like, walk. And so, okay, I'm just gonna read the lyrics. I'm not gonna give you my Elvis impersonation. So, In the song, he says, you look like an angel, you walk like an angel, you even talk like an angel, but I got wives. You're the devil in disguise. Oh, yes, you are. The devil in disguise. Ooh, those are strong words coming from the king of rock himself. Elvis Presley, the king. So, in this song, he's actually talking about a girl. He's talking about a woman that he dated, and then according to the lyrics, it looks like she cheated on him, and now he's just heartbroken. She looked like an angel, walked like an angel, talked like an angel, but he said, I got wives. You're the devil in disguise. But today, we're going to look at kind of the actual devil and how he does go under disguises. And he tries to trip us up as Christians and will put himself within a disguise to do so. And the devil, he's been at it from the beginning. It's from Genesis. We see in chapter 2, man and woman are created. And then the next chapter, the devil is there tempting them, trying to get them to trip up. So he's always been at it, trying to crush a Christian's faith. In 1 Peter 5:8, it says, stay alert, watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. So it's this image of the devil is just like an upset lion roaming this world. He's just one person, he can't be everywhere at all times, but he's one being roaming this world, just looking for Christians to crush. He's just out to crush them. And he'll look like anything, he'll say anything, he'll do anything that he needs to do to crush a Christian's faith. So, it's kind of like Red Riding Hood, you know, the classic story. Imagine your faith is the cookies, you know, the cookies in the basket that you're bringing to grandma's, or whatever it is, the fresh baked bread, bringing it to grandma's, and you're bringing these cookies, this faith, through the forest of life. So you're just walking, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Like we always have an idea that Red Riding Hood, she's just jolly and singing, da-da-da, except in like Hoodwinked where she's a like secret ninja. But like for reals, she's just walking, you're just minding your own business, you've got your faith in your hands, and you're heading to grandma's house. And then comes the wolf. And first, he's just the wolf. He's just hiding in shadows, whispering to you, hey, come over here, get off the trail. Come over here, baby, come into my house and I'll eat you. Come over here. And then she's like, no way, you're the wolf. And then she sees him, notices him, darts away in her little red hood. And then, but later, the wolf, he takes it to another step. He gets into the grandma's house because he knows where she's going. He eats the grandma, just eats her right up.
Yes!
Really, really sick story. She's in his belly, dead. We assume she's dead. And then he goes under disguise. He's in grandma's house, dresses like grandma. He probably even talks like grandma. He's probably like, so he has a deep voice. But then he's like, oh, Red Riding Hood, come right in to the grandma's house and bring me the cookies. Well, that's what, it's like a German grandma, because it's a German fairy tale. And so, she's German, he's a wolf from like California, and he's trying the German accent out, but he also has it, so that's why she sounds like that. And he's like, oh, come in. And he looks innocent, probably acts innocent. I'm not gonna eat you, I just want to eat the cookies. And then, in the moment, he springs on her. He's the wolf. And then, luckily, the lumberjack, what's his name? The woodchopper? The woodchuck? Hillbilly Bob walks in, bursts through, and saves him. If it weren't for Hillbilly Bob, though, Red Riding Hood would have been dungeroni. She would have been done. And this wolf, it's like the devil. I know you guys didn't see that coming, the metaphor, the wolf and the devil, but he will. First, it might be plain to see. The devil tries to get you to do this, tries to get you to do that. And it looks gross, acts gross, sounds gross, and you're like, oh, I don't want anything to do with that. But then he goes undercover. Maybe it's a religion. Maybe it's a moral group, a moral movement, or like an expert in science or in history or a teacher, whatever it may be. Something that seems innocent, acts innocent, and probably even looks like it's out for your good. But it's the devil in disguise. And our passage calls these false prophets. So the devil in disguise is a false prophet. That's what we're going to focus on today. A false prophet. What is it? What are they? What are these false prophets? Are they truly just wolves in grandma's clothing? Not a wolf in sheep's clothing. He took it a step further and put on grandma's clothes. Or what? What are they? And then we're going to look at how to detect them. So we are like, by the Holy Spirit and His power, we're like human lie detectors. And we're going to be able to detect what or if something, whether it's a religious group or a political leader or whatever else it may be, if that is a false prophet. So first, what they are. Second, how to detect them. So let's start out with what a false prophet is. Verse 1 of our passage, it says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." So this false prophet, it's been defined as one who, acting the part of a divinely inspired prophet, utters falsehoods under the name of divine prophecies. So it's someone who says, like basically, who goes out and says, "I'm of God, and He's speaking through me, and God says that in 3 days the blood moons of the sky are going to drip upon us, and then it's going to rain acid, and our skin is going to melt. But then, luckily, the earth will quake and fix it all." So they're just making something up. Maybe they had a weird dream and they think that it's really going to come. Like, maybe there's something within them that supports it strongly. Maybe they interpreted a single verse this way, and so they based a whole religion upon just a single verse with no context. Or maybe they discovered something scientifically, and now they try to make claims about faith because of that. Whatever it is, they're saying something divinely is coming from them, from a divine person, and they're saying something about it, whether it's different, new, or whatever it may be. That's a false prophet. And they're nothing new. We see them all throughout Scripture, all the time. An Old Testament example of false prophets would be Jeremiah 14:14. That verse says, "And the Lord said to Jeremiah, 'The prophets prophesied lies in my name.'" This is God talking. "I have not sent them, commanded them, nor spoken to them. They prophesy to you a false vision, divination, and worthless thing, and the deceit of their heart." So what this, let me kind of paint the picture that's happening in Jeremiah. There was a famine in the land, and it's really like dangerous, like Israel is under attack. And it's just like a dark, bad time. Then you have these people claiming to be of God that came on the scene and they said, "Don't worry, guys, there's not going to be a famine and we're not even going to get attacked. We're going to be completely safe." So they looked and said, the message from God within all of this darkness is hope. So they said, hope is a good thing. So we're going to preach hope because hope is always of God. But that's not what God was doing. God allowed the famine, God allowed them to be attacked, and they were preaching this false vision and deceit. And then it goes on and says, God says that these false prophets, that He's going to respond to them with famine and allow them to be cut down by their rivals. And then like those who follow these false prophets are going to be excommunicated out of the city, and then they won't, when they die, no one will be there to bury them. And when their wives die, no one will be there to bury them. And when their kids die, no one will be there to bury them. That's actually what it says in the chapter. Like, God takes false prophets very seriously because they're saying this is what God said and saying something false, not true, not real. And God does not like that, not at all. Another New Testament example of a false prophet is Jude 1, verse 4. It says, I say this because some ungodly people have wormed their way into your churches, saying that God's marvelous grace allows us to live immoral lives. The condemnation of such people was recorded long ago, for they have denied our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. So look at this image. The translation uses the word wormed. So they kind of like squirmed into the church, like they just slithered up in there. And then they're like changing things. Like they say, because there's grace, maybe we should just sin however we want, because if I sin, then I can just say, oh, I'm sorry, Lord, forgive me. But like Romans says, just because grace abounds, should sin abound more? No way. We need to love God and respond in trying to live in repentance and live free of sin for him. And then that verse says, they have denied our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. So they denied Jesus. They departed from his teachings, from his person, from who he is. So we see that they existed in Scripture. They've been there, not all along, but they've been there for a long time. God, or the devil, has been using people to shift a different message and kind of crush their faith to the best of his abilities. But they haven't only existed in times of the Bible. False prophets are also super common today. I would say maybe even more common, because if I want to be a false prophet, I can log onto my Facebook page with however many friends and say, like, the Lord is coming back in 3.5 days, prepare yourselves, enter. And then, but seriously, you can do that. Or you can open a blog. In researching for this teaching, I was researching modern-day false prophets, and I found this teacher who said, or this website that said, here's a whole bunch of false teachers today. And it named, like, every popular teacher. It was, like, Joel Osteen, Tim Keller, Chuck Smith, like, every Bible teacher in there. And so then I was like, what is this guy saying? How is he saying this about all the teachers? And then I logged onto their main page, and he's like, I'm out to stop the Illuminati, and the world is going to be saved by me. I'm a reporter, and I've researched this, and I'm going to put it all to an end. I don't know why he sounds like that, but that was what his page looked like, it sounded like. So, like, it's crazy. And anybody can just get an idea, and then mass produce it, and get enough views to where it shows up on Google when you search something. It's crazy. It's super common. But what are, like, some common ways that false prophets present themselves today? A super common one is just other religions that aren't truly of God. And this can be tricky to see, so we're going to look more at that and how to detect false prophets. Another example would be like experts in various fields. So maybe we have a historian who says, you know, here's how something, something, something about, like, after the apostles or something. And then he says, here's why the Christian faith breaks down from that. And he's going from a field that addresses history to a field of faith and religion. And he's not qualified to do that. And we'll discover more of that also as we look at our second point. And then we have even, like, moral and cultural movements. So, like, the whole movement of homosexuality and transgenders. Like, if I feel this way, I should be able to act this way, and you should not only approve of me acting this way, but you should fully support it and encourage me to do whatever I want while I feel this way. Or, like, movements that are, like, racial movements that are making big deals about things that maybe are very important, but then they can take it a step further and preach us something that we shouldn't actually be on board with. So we have to identify these movements, these experts, these teachers, these preachers, these religions. We have to be able to detect, is this a false prophet? Is it just somebody who's really smart making an opinion? Is it whatever it may be? So this brings us to our second point. How do we detect them? It's really cool because we are, like, because of the Holy Spirit, we're like human lie detectors. You know, things can come our way, and we have this power within us that really can't be explained by human ways. That's like a detector. Just detects when someone's false, when someone's lying. But we also have some tools. So let's look at verse 1 one more time. It says, Beloved, Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And by spirits, what it really means is influences. So instead of just like whatever influence comes your way, so instead of me logging onto that website that said like all these, every person who teaches the Bible is wrong and the false prophet, I logged onto his page and I was like, oh, this influence is really crazy. And I wasn't just like, but he's probably accurate. I like tested him and realized that he is a crazy person writing a crazy website. So, what's this test? What does it look like? How do we use it? How do we apply it? The prophet test, as I've come to call it, it's the prophet test. The prophet test, that's what it's called. I don't know why, but I think that's pretty cool. So it's a series of three questions that we just ask any source that is like making a claim about faith. Anything that's saying, it's not only saying like here's what history says or here's what science says or here's what facts say, but it's saying because this says this, here's faith. Because I believe this, here's how your faith should change. The first question to the test is, do they believe in Jesus? Do they believe in the idea of Jesus? Do they believe in the spirit of Jesus? Do they believe that Jesus is good? Do they believe that Jesus is real? It's like something real. The second question is, do they believe that Jesus lived on this earth as a human being? So, fully Jesus, fully man. Do they believe that? Do they believe historically that he walked on this earth, flesh and body and bones, that he died and rose again? Do they believe that that really occurred? And then third, this is what I would say is the most important. Do they believe that Jesus is God? So they believe in Jesus, they believe that he was a human walking on this earth, and then do they believe, as Jesus claimed throughout all the Gospels and taught, and it was the reason he was crucified, is that he claimed to be God, and the Pharisees saw it as blasphemy. Do they believe that Jesus is God? So let me give you an example of this, and this is a very common example. So let's just say you're chilling with your friends, it's a Saturday afternoon, and you get the knock on the door. It's the Jehovah's Witnesses. And you're like, okay, cool. And so they come to your door, and here they are. And what's the test? How do we know? So it's very common. They come all the time. But what's the test? So let me give you an example. The Jehovah's Witness, they're at my door. The simple way would be, hey, do you believe in Jesus? And then the Jehovah's Witness will say, yes, of course we believe in Jesus. Yeah, he's awesome, he's moral, he's really cool, he's good. And then we'd say, oh, cool, you passed that one. We wouldn't really say this because like it'd be weird if we're like, okay, first of all, do you believe in Jesus? Second of all, do you believe that he's a human? Third of all, do you believe that he's God? No. But, you know, just in casual conversation or even researching about them. So do they believe that he's a human, that he was a human, that walked on this earth? And yes, the Jehovah's Witnesses do believe that. So they'd be like, oh yes, of course we believe that he lived on this earth, that he died, that he rose again. And then we'd say, so a third question, so they pass that one. Third question, do you believe that Jesus is God? And then they would say, no, we don't believe that Jesus is God. And in that moment, we can identify that faith, that religion, as false prophecy. So claims that they make to try to change our faith, transform our faith, maybe wear something different, grow our hair differently, dress differently, talk differently as a Christian, we can refuse to listen to that on the basis that they are false prophets because they do not believe that Jesus is God. Another example would be Mormons. They believe that Jesus was a real thing, that he walked on the earth, but then they do not believe in the Trinity, that Jesus is God, the Holy Spirit is God, that God is God, and Jesus is God, and God is Jesus, and all of that. They do not believe that. And so the claims that they make to try to change our faith, to say that we're not saved because we are doing this or we aren't doing this, we can identify that as false prophecy. So it's really cool because we don't really need to be confused when a religion or a faith or a scientist comes and says, hey, Jesus really walked on the earth, but he wasn't really God. Then when they say, I think it's dumb that you baptize yourself, or I think it's dumb that you go to church, we can say that's false prophecy. He doesn't even believe that Jesus is God, and he's making claims about my faith. And it really applies to a whole bunch of different walks of life. Like in high school, you'll need to use this. In junior high, right now, you'll be using this. At school and college, this will be super important to test everything that comes your way. And online, when that like random Facebook post that pops up is like, discovery has been discovered that all Christians should not believe in God, dot, dot, dot. Like, we can put that to the test and actually see what's going on behind this claim. What is their real beliefs? Is it false prophecy? Is it just whatever? Now, but also, it's really cool because so often Christians can get hung up on, you know, you believe that I need to be baptized to be saved. You believe that when you confess, you need to do it to a priest, or that you need to pray through Mary. But when we can agree that Jesus is real, that Jesus walked on this earth, and that Jesus is God, that opens up such a door for fellowship and such a door for growing together, learning together. Maybe a few boundaries might need to be put in place. Like, if you know somebody who believes differently about baptism than you do, then just don't get into debates about baptism. You don't need to debate it. You can just say, we both believe Jesus, and we can go forward with that. We both believe that he is God. We can go forward with that. Maybe you have a different feeling about tattoos than I do. We can go forward with that. You know what I mean? Forget those little nitpicky things. If you believe Jesus is God, there's community, there's love that we can show to each other within that. So, remember the test. What's question one? Do they believe in Jesus? Oh, very good, class. Test number two.
Do they believe that
Jesus walked on the earth, that he was a real flesh and blood human? And question three. That Jesus is God, yes. And if you forget all of those, remember, do you believe that Jesus is God? That's so important. And this, like, I cannot stress enough, as you continue to grow up, continue to walk in this world, I see, like, kids my age, so a little older, a little younger, college kids that go to college, and even go to Christian colleges, and they haven't had this time of learning to test things and learning to say, what is this saying at its root? Is it actual prophecy or is it false prophecy? And they just get swayed quick, especially at Christian colleges, but also at secular colleges, because a source will say something like, it's like basically their point is it's stupid to believe in God. And then because it's backed with a scientist who doesn't even believe that Jesus is God, we go, oh, okay, he's making a claim about my faith. That's true, that's fact, I'll support that. And then you can go on to Christian campuses and they'll show all the reasons that we should be divided within our faith, or all the things that we need to debate about, all the things that really need to make you question your faith, where if Jesus is God, we can just continue in that. We don't need to be shaken up by the manuscripts of the text and whatever else. So put this into practice. Now, as you're growing, as you are in junior high and claims about faith come your way, put it to the test. Do they believe Jesus? Do they believe that he was human? And do they believe that he is God? And if they're trying to make claims about your faith, then refuse to listen to it. You can do that. And we have the right from the Holy Spirit, from God, to do that. As we close, it's important to look at the last verse of our text, so verse 4. This is a very commonly quoted verse, but it's a lot of times taken out of context. So we're going to look at it in context and apply it to this whole scenario. Verse 4 says, "You are of God, little children," or Christians, "and have overcome them," overcome the false prophets, "because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." We have no reason to fear false prophets. Some people can hear this teaching, and then when like the Jehovah's Witness comes to the door, they're like, "Get behind me, Satan!" Like, no, you don't do that. No, 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 you have no need to fear. Or like they see Mormons on their bikes and they're like, "Oh, there's the false prophets driving down the street again." No, no, no. We don't need to fear false prophets. We don't need to avoid them. I used to, in like fourth and fifth grade, I was always like, if you made a claim about something involving faith that kind of shifted Christianity, I'd be like, "No, you're wrong!" In kindergarten, I sent kids home crying because we got in debates about Santa Claus and Jesus. Literally, I would send kids home crying because I shattered their faith in Santa Claus. And I probably was proud of it, but I have no regrets, but I wouldn't do it now. I wouldn't do it now. I know, I did. I didn't even have much of a childhood. But no, and then like in fourth and fifth grade, because I saw like a Ken Ham debate, I knew that I was ready to take on my evolutionist science teacher, and I was like, "Evolution isn't real. My grandpa's not a monkey." And you like, I don't know. That there's it was funny. But I was actually super serious. So we don't need to fear false prophets. We can listen to them. We can realize when they're wrong, realize what we disagree in. But there's always opportunity to grow. You know, there's always things we can give them and things that we can listen to from them. If it doesn't involve changing our faith, shifting our faith. But if they just have a good point about something, yeah, listen to it. Discover it. Ask other people about it. Research it. So don't fear false prophets. Next time a Jehovah's Witness comes to your door, don't like grab the squirt guns or something. I'm giving you all like super bad ideas. So. I know. Yeah, I baptize you. Or. And like don't just like call people false prophets too. Like we're not gonna be like false prophecy. Get out. But realize where they. Yeah. But like realize where we disagree. And if it is about Jesus existing, Jesus being human, and Jesus being God, it's false prophecy, and it does not give them the right to make claims about faith or make claims from God. So yeah, is that pretty clear? You guys got that? Let me ask you again. So question one.
Jesus.
What? Do you believe in Jesus? Question two. He walked on the earth. Very good. Question three. Do you believe Jesus is God? Yes. Super good. Okay. Let's pray. And then the service went super late last time, so you'll probably have to hang out here for like half an hour. I'm just kidding. Probably like a few tens of minutes. But... Yeah. Okay, let me pray and then hang out, fellowship. Don't go downstairs yet unless like you need to go to that back parking lot to get picked up. Okay. Dear Lord, we thank you. We thank you that your word is sharper than any two-edged sword, Lord. And it cuts through what is fact and what is true of our faith and what is false. What is false prophecy? And we, when things come our way, when claims come our way, when weird websites come our way, we are going to go to your word. We're going to put it to the test that you give us in 1 John. And we hope to, when the devil comes to us in his disguise, to point it out immediately and not listen to whatever he tries to tell us pertaining to our faith. So let us go with you this time, Lord. We set our hearts on you, and we surrender ourselves afresh to you, and we ask that you would go before us this week and be glorified in everything that we say and everything that we do, Lord. We love you, Father, and we pray this in your name. All God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Oh. No, you didn't. Oh, that was so... I thought the Lord was coming.